Put up Philippians 4:13. This verse says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this word strengthens here. How many like this verse? I love this. It's one of my favorites. This word strengthens is the Greek word endynamo. Endynamo. It's kind of a cool word. The first part is en, which means in. Dynamo means power. So it means in power, which we get our word empower. And so we could say, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. Put it up in the Amplified Version. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me, and I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And so this word empower, it obviously is a big word for us, because our mission is what we do, empowering people to give life. And then you notice one of our values, the values are why we do what we do. Is it working? What did I do? the values, those eight values there, are why, as a ministry, we do what we do. And on there is the word empowerment. Then we have over here our vision. The vision is where we're going. And empowerment is mentioned there. So it's a big word for us. And so this word empower is the foundation for our give life. It's the foundation we do. And empowerment's the reason why we go to other nations. When we go, both of us spoke at a couple churches while we were there. We talk about empowerment, the empowerment of believers. And so what does this word mean? Empowerment is walking in your authority. Walking in your authority. And empowerment is being an ambassador for Christ. Empowerment is walking in your ministry of reconciliation. Empowerment is walking in your rights as believers. Do you know you have rights? We've got a Bill of Rights in this country. We have rights and privileges. Well, you have rights and privileges as a believer. So empowerment enables you to do things. And that is a key. What we're doing here is we're not just teaching you morals and good character, although those are part of being a Christian. We want you to actually do something with what you're being taught here and take it into your world. You know, we have the book of Acts. We want you to do Acts for the kingdom. And so it's an enablement. It's God's power. So it's not just making you stronger, but you're able to bring God's power on the scene wherever you go. And that's what ambassadors we've talked about that. We're the voice of heaven. We represent Jesus. We have a ministry, each one of us. And so what's the big deal? I mean, why is empowerment so big here at Good News Church? Because, and first of all, there's not a whole lot of churches where empowerment is talked about. And when we've been dealt with this in Australia and other places we've been, definitely here in the United States, we have the mentality there's only just a few special people that are empowered. And usually those are ministers. And so we all come to hear the minister who's empowered and teach us and train us and talk about certain things. But it's all about a certain person and a personality. And we're kind of making a shift and a change there. And it's hard to break through this culture because even the people in the church kind of like it because it leaves them off the hook for any responsibility for the Great Commission. So, but what we're saying is we're all in it together. Yes, the leaders, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, have a role to play, but then the believers have a part to play, and we work together to fulfill the Great Commission. And everybody, so there's no pew sitting, no spectators, everybody's got a part to play. And so we call that being ambassador for Christ, we call that the ministry of reconciliation, or we call it the believer's ministry. You heard Jim talking about the believer's ministry. That's the message that we bring to other churches. That's the message that we bring to other nations. And that's the message that this church has been living and trying to live out. It's not easy to do because you're fighting a lot of tradition. But we're making some progress. And God's helping us, and God is opening up doors. And I believe even more doors in this upcoming year, because we saw a lot, we've seen people change. And so the work we're doing, it's going to take some time, but we're committed to this and we believe in this. And so this is a church of empowerment. Our mission is empowering people to give life, not just a couple people on the leadership team, you know, or people that are in full-time ministry. No, we're empowering everybody. We're empowering believers to give life in their world. And so what we do here is training and teaching, and good things happen here. God does things here. But the main game is out in your world. That's where the believers are going out into their world. Now, empowerment comes in four different ways, and I'm not going to go through the first two, but I can give you a scripture reference. You can look at it later. Romans 4:20 says empowerment comes from the Word. Faith empowers us. Faith strengthens us. And so that's one way, by the Word of God, that we're empowered. The second way, and I'm not going to read this scripture either, Ephesians 3, verse 16, empowerment comes from the Spirit of God. How many here are baptized in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit comes in you, and He empowers you to live the Word, empower you to be Jesus in your world. So that's another way. Now the third way, let's put that scripture up, is the fivefold ministry. Let's put up Ephesians 4, verse 11. We got that verse. There it is. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles. This is, we call this the fivefold ministry. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, most fivefold ministers don't read it this way. They think it's the responsibility of the people to come and to serve them and to bring money and make me look good. But really, the purpose of these leaders in the body of Christ is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to equip the believer, to empower the believer. Do you see that? And so that's part, that's not the only part of my job description, as you can read in the scriptures. But that is part of my job description, is to equip the people of Good News Church to do the work of the ministry. Now, we don't even stop there. Now put up the next scripture. From 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. So we call it now the sixfold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and the believer. And now what we're saying is believers, and this is another source of empowerment, are to empower each other. Now look at the scripture. So you, my son, be strong. There it is. Be strong. Strengthened inwardly in the grace, spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. So part of empowerment is helping you find your identity, help you find out who you are in Christ, and then walk in that authority in your life. And so the fourth source of empowerment is helping people know who they are in Christ. But look at what it says in verse 2. And the instruction which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust. What message? Identity? Who you are in Christ? Transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. And so this is kind of a phase that we're in here now at Good News Church, where yes, Nate's empowering, I'm empowering, Susie's empowering, other leaders are empowering in things that we teach here. When you come on Sunday and Wednesday, you're going to hear a message of empowerment. When we have special meetings and guests in, it's all about that. But what's happening now, and you're going to hear some things that we're going to be announcing coming up, now we're talking about the believers empowering other believers. And we're going to be asking people, not just a few key leaders, we're asking a lot of people here at Good News Church to start empowering people in their world. They may be in Good News Church, they may be outside of Good News Church, but begin to teach them the things you've been taught to others and help them learn what you learned, help them find their identity, who they are in Christ. And then, so now you've been empowered, now you're going to empower others. And that's where we're going right now. So the Word is the source of empowerment. The Spirit of God is a source of empowerment. The fivefold ministry is a source of empowerment. But then the believer's ministry is a source of empowerment. And again, we take it for granted here, but this is not the norm throughout the world in Christendom. It's not the norm. And you'll be surprised, you've been kind of brainwashed in a good way. But you'll be surprised how the message is fought in some churches, and especially with pastors, because they don't want to give up their privileged spot. They don't want to give up, you know, the attention, and, you know, and it's all about me and how special I am. But we're saying everybody's special. We need the different leaders. But in order to get the job done, because in some of these countries, you can't have a church meeting like this. You don't have a building. They can't do crusades. The only way they'll be able to reach people is through the believers. And if these crusades and TV and all the different outlets for evangelism were doing the job, then we'd have the whole world won by now, but we're not doing it because we're missing an essential element. We're missing the believers doing the work of the ministry. And when we get all things working together, we're going to reach the whole world for Christ, wrap this thing up, and Jesus is going to come back. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get out of here. Let's get our jobs done so we can go home. But imagine 100 million believers, or just even 1 million believers, that know what we know all over the world in every nation. What could we do? And so this is our part, and this is who Good News Church is, and this is what your part. Now, in Matthew 9, I want to read that. We'll close with that today. But Matthew 9 talks about the believer's ministry and laborers. And so I want to read that to you. Matthew 9, verse 35. And you might want to just follow along because I'm going to read it in the Message translation. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. Isn't that good? Jesus is good. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. Do you hurt for people in your world? Does your heart break for the city of Augusta? Does your heart break for the schools that we're at? Does your heart break for people in your family? Does your heart break for people in your neighborhood? We are Jesus to them. We may be the only Jesus that they'll ever see or come across. His heart broke. So confused and aimless they were. Like sheep without a shepherd. Anybody here know anybody like that? They're lost. Don't know where they're going. They have no power. The devil's just beating their brains out. Stealing, killing, and destroying. They're hurting. They're dying. Next verse. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. Next verse. On your knees and pray that we'll have more TV time. On your knees and pray that we do more crusades. On your knees and pray that people will give more. On your knees and pray that we'll build bigger buildings. Is that what Jesus asked for? If we want to do something for the kingdom, we're going to have to align what we're doing with what God's doing. If you want to be fruitful, you're going to do the Bible. The Bible's going to produce. And so I don't want to be, spending all my time doing something that doesn't matter. I was raised, and no offense to the church I was at, but I was raised in the church. We did things, but there was no fruit ever. Nobody getting saved, people not growing, but yet we went every Sunday. And we played the games, and we did church, and we just kept on doing it. That's what my parents did, that's what my grandparents did. That's what a whole lot of churches are doing. But they haven't lined up what they're doing with what God wants and desires. He says, on your knees and pray for harvest hands. He's saying, pray to the Lord. Another translation says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that they'll send out laborers. We don't have a problem on God's end. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what He wants. He wants all 7 billion of us saved. We don't have a problem on the sinner's side, because the sinners, they're doing what they know to do. They're sinning. They're lost. It's not their problem. So what are we lacking? If we've got a God that wants to save them, we have lost people that have no clue, but really what they want is to be saved. What are we lacking? We're lacking the laborers to reach the people that are lost. Do you see that? That's why this is the most important prayer really in the New Testament, is to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth the laborers. Amplified Bible says to thrust them out into the harvest field. And so we as a church are taking on this responsibility to pray this prayer, but also to do more than that, to train, to teach, to send. Cata Academy, Carissa Empowerment Training Academy is about training trainers. We're doing what we can for the labor shortage. And so what we want is and what why doors are opening up for us around the different world, the world is because we need more churches like Good News Church. Now there are others, but there's not enough. We got a shortage. And so I'm wanting to align what we're doing with what God wants. And that's the place to be. I don't want to labor in vain. You could build the house, but your labor can be in vain. I want to build it God's way. All right, let's keep on reading here. So after they prayed, look what happened. Matthew 10, verse 1, Message. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. What did he do? Called 12 of his followers. God's talking, everybody listen. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. Gave them power. He empowered them to kick out the evil spirits and tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. Don't put the next verse, verse 2 up, but then he lists all the 12 disciples. And the 12 disciples, these weren't rocket scientists. They weren't the most qualified, the most educated. These were ordinary people that turned their world upside down. They took the commission of Jesus and acted upon it. Fishermen, tax collectors, laborers. And they became laborers for the kingdom. Now let's go down to the next, was it verse 5, is it? Go to the lost. What's verse 5 say? Do you have that? Or maybe that's where I need to, okay, that's fine. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick, raise the dead, touch the untouchables, kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Now, I hope you all get to go to nations, really. have the privilege to go to a few. I hope you all get that experience. And maybe some of you will actually go live in other nations. But the place that we start with the believer's ministry is in our world, right here in Augusta, right in your neighborhood. And if we can't go do it there, why should we go somewhere else? What did Jesus do? He prayed. And so this should be a prayer for the people of Good News Church. We should be praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers. Each one of us should be praying. I pray that every day. But then the second thing we ought to do is be a laborer for the kingdom. And that means I want to be trained to get people saved, to get people baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray for the sick, among some other things. So we get trained to do that. We know how to do that. Who knows how to do that? Raise your hand. A lot of people. A lot of people here. And those that didn't raise your hand, stick with us and you'll learn. But then the third thing we want to do here is send out the laborers. We want to encourage people to go out into their world and reach people. And that's where you come in. We didn't mention it, but Jim Newton at the end of the last conference stood up and said, okay, what can we do as a network of churches to reach people? And we said, we're going to keep track of how many people we get saved in 1 year. And so we had the total at the conference. It was like 7,250 people were saved, really without even trying. I never even mentioned it here at the church. I mean, and we were a big part of that number, but churches that weren't doing it, they started putting in numbers and reaching out to people. And without even trying, the people that we were connected with got 7,200 people saved all throughout. That's a conservative because we don't know all the numbers. And I think that's going to even increase this next year. But we're empowered to do something. And I just want you to know what you're a part of. I want you to know who Good News Church is. And every one of us is going to do our part. And we're going to see some phenomenal things. Signs and wonders. People being saved. People being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But then you know whatever else is going to happen? We're going to see believers empowering other people. Do you see how this can multiply? Because it's just not one person doing it. It's a bunch of people doing it. And if you get another bunch of people doing it, they get a bunch of people doing it. Then you got addition. Acts talks about adding to the church daily those being saved. But then it talks about multiplication. And that's why I want to get into multiplication. Are y'all up for this? And some of you are like, oh my God, I don't know what I got myself into here. But we can do it. We're going to do it together. We're going to help each other. Bible says iron sharpens iron. But what we're doing, this right here is our mission. Now, in order to give life, you have to have life. So all the things about faith and righteousness and the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit and prayer and love and God's love and peace and who you are in Christ and all those things. We teach all those things. But just so you know, behind all that, there's a purpose. And we are empowering people to give life. We are raising up life givers. We are a life-giving church. We're raising up people with harvest hands. And so what I'm asking from you today and say, yeah, I want to be that life giver. I may not know all I need to know right now, but I want to be a life giver. Do I have any of those people who wants to be a life giver? Amen?